I've been doing a lot of research on the Apostle Paul. You know, in my research, I've also found there have been some historical things that I took for granted because they were told to me by people I trusted and who were learned in history. But like many of the things about the Council of Nicaea are more nuanced the more that I learn about them. And so that causes me to take a step back. But the more that I learn, the gray areas don't make me afraid. Traditional theology has it's all or nothing. So if you question anything, then the whole thing is up in the air. But I believe that's antithesis to the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Whatever the truth is, that's the truth, right? We're just spending our time trying to find it. You know, I used to sometimes think when Dad was preaching, dude, don't give everybody both barrels all the time. We're all always going to be this tiny church because you just blast everybody out of the church. But on the other hand, if you're genuinely and consistently and painstakingly searching for the truth, why would you spend your time on frivolity? I get that. So I'm trying to find somewhere in the middle. Not just blast everybody every day, but also you got to have integrity. If you're just saying things so people come and sit here, then that doesn't make you any different than McDonald's, right? Are you loving it, Aiden? How would I even know? Anyhow, so I remember Dad's journey and his earnestness and his integrity, and it gives me courage and strength. Because at the end of the day, all you got is to be able to look yourself in the mirror. Your family, your friends, everyone else who are so important in this life. But at the end of the day, you wake up alone and you go to sleep alone. And if you can't look yourself in the mirror, then all else is nothingness. Doesn't matter if you make a million friends. Anyhow, so I always appreciated that about Dad. And I will say this. I was thinking the other day about like how he, Dad used to talk about age-long life, right? And people used to right? How could he get all crazy and huffy? I would argue this following thing. If you went 400 years ago and before then, even less than 400 years ago, 200 years ago and before, the average lifespan was 30 years. And so most people got married when they were 16, had a job in their career by their 20s, because they're like, I got to get this show on the road. We all expect to live much longer than that, into our 80s. So who's to say, with medicine, science, divine revelation, how long the human body is supposed, right? People in 200 years who are living age-long lives may look back at our petty existence the way that we look back on medieval, right? You understand? If you went back to Pope Urban II and said, yo, man, you should be living till you're 100 years old, but there's bacteria, tiny living things inside your body that wage war, and the white blood cells, he'd be like, you're a madman, burn him. You understand what I'm saying? Like, conventional wisdom is what often holds us back. In 500 years, who knows what humans will be capable of? And to say this is all of our potential based on what we know right now is the height of folly. So who in 500 years, science is an explanation for God's work. They're not at loggerheads. They are symbiotic. They work together, right? God created every single thing. Science is our human way of learning and explaining it. So dinosaurs existing doesn't mean that God didn't create the world. It just means he didn't do it in a week like we thought when we learned it in kindergarten. That doesn't disprove our beliefs. It just explains them in a different way. Anyhow, that was all for free. I was going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And I used to have a pretty strong stance, Connie, on Thomas Jefferson. I feel like he's been coasting on his reputation for years. That was not a very, before that musical, the hip-hop musical Hamilton came out, I'm going to sound like an old school punk rocker. I liked them before they were cool. But I was preaching Alexander Hamilton's praises 25 years ago. And I take a dim view on Thomas Jefferson. I think he's, I always tell my kids, words are nothingness, actions, you know, people who cheat on their wives don't go home every night to their wives and say, I hate you and I'm cheating on you. They say, I love you, and then they go out and do terrible things. It's the actions that are the important thing, not the words. So you can write the flowery language all you want, but if you are owning slaves and, you know, doing all kinds of terrible things to them, you're not a sphinx, you're not a mystery, you're just a hypocrite. And I also take a pretty dim view on the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to take one of these days to tag him pretty hard. Most of traditional theology comes not from the teachings of Jesus, but from the teachings of Paul. If you look at the New Testament, there's 27 books. Of those 27, 14 are about or written by Paul, a man who never saw Jesus, not once, other than the vision. Peter, Thomas, all of the other 12 disciples listening to Jesus every day, what happens to them? All of a sudden, Paul, who was persecuting them for years, all of a sudden, he becomes the person who writes all of the letters. All of the things that we think about, homosexuality and drinking and tattooing and all of that stuff that people get so hung up about, that's Paul, not Jesus. I'm not a Paulian. I'm a Christian because I follow Jesus Christ, not Apostle Paul. Right? How on earth can we spend 2,000 years arguing over what somebody, you know what I'm saying? If Jesus Christ says it, I want to listen. And Paul has some good words, just like all mortal men, good words and bad words. But the fact that women have been subjugated for thousands of years, and then when they say anything, the book says, Paul says, a woman is supposed to be learned in science. Silence, sorry. How many people have been repressed? I was watching a documentary on Molly houses. Molly houses are what, back in the 1700s, when homosexuality was illegal, men who were gay would have to meet secretly in the slang, but the people who were not were called Molly houses, and the police would raid them and hang everybody by the neck. I heard you're gay. You gotta die. Where on earth would they get this idea? From Paul. Jesus doesn't say thou shalt not be gay. And now here we are, thousands of years later, and the Christians are, we spend all our time trying to pray the gayness out of young men instead of focusing on ourselves. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. How long will we do this? And if you go into any church and say that, they will throw you out on your rear end. I don't get it. But that brings me to my actual sermon today. And the sermon is about trying to find truth. Trying to find meaning and substance and peace. All of the things that our Heavenly Father wants for us. We are born with them. If you look at a child, kindergartner, leave them in a room. They are filled with joy. They're living the dream. Playing hide and go seek, running around, tagging each other. They just love it. They're filled with energy. They're filled with vigor. They're filled with love of life and love for, you ever see two little kids hugging each other and just, when does it end? When does it stop? When do we become self-conscious and thinking about our bodies? When do we start putting labels on people and judging people based on their race? When does it happen? Over the years, the devil piles things on, piles them on. But inside, we still have it. And everybody knows this. Hindus call it enlightenment. Buddhists call it awakening. Christians call it being born again. That genuine feeling of the love and excitement that you had once when you were a child, that you lose over the course of time as we listen to the devil's lies, and it gets covered up and it covered up and covered up. Hide it under a bushel. No. I want to let it shine. All of the things that I had when I was a child that I've spent so many years uncovering. But how do I find that? That's the issue. People write books about it. They go to seminars. They go to church looking for a way to find that thing that they had, that they still have. It's that search. John the Baptist says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. I'll start with 9 and I'm reading to 10. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. People think that that means people. Any person who does not bear good fruit will be thrown into the fire. I would say that that's ridiculous. So the pastor who accepted Jesus into his heart, but then has been cheating on his wife for 20 years, which is the good fruit? Does he get thrown in the fire? Is he a tree that gets cut down? Or the Muslim man who lives his life patiently, kindly, and goodly, but he didn't accept Jesus into the heart? He's the one who doesn't bear good fruit? What's the good fruit? What's the good fruit? The good fruit is the things that Jesus talks about. Goodness, faithfulness, love, peace, joy, all of those things. Anything that doesn't produce those must be cut out and thrown into the fire, whatever it is. So the issue is not, is drinking alcohol a bad thing? Does drinking alcohol cause you to bear bad fruit? If it does, cut it out. It's not black and white. I love video games. Like I've said, my mother does not. She doesn't have to grapple with, should I be playing these games as much as I do? Is there anything wrong with playing video games? No. However, if I ignore something that is good to play video games, then I'm not producing the good fruit and it has to be cut out. So my dad got all crazy about the Lakers games and going to movies because he's thinking about what bears good fruit. Does eating popcorn and drinking Sprite with my wife while watching Air Bud, does that produce good fruit? Well, yeah, it does. I'm spending time with the woman that I love. Does eating too much popcorn and drinking too much Sprite bear good fruit? No, therefore I cut that out. Each and every one of us, in each and every circumstance, what is causing us to bear good fruit? And what is causing us not to bear good fruit? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. With diligence. See, I'm of a mind, and I believe wholeheartedly, that happiness and fulfillment can be found anywhere. With perseverance, with integrity, we can find what we need inside of us already. The example I always use is Anthony Bourdain. Those of you who know who he is, I loved the guy. I thought he was so smart and witty. He was a writer and he was a food critic and he was just kind of a genuine, authentic guy. And he traveled around the world. He had different shows. And he used to be a chef in New York and he would do these kinds of things. And he was at the top of his game. And he hung himself in a hotel in France. And the reason that I say that is, if somebody was like, hey, Gabe, would you rather work at Trader Joe's or would you rather travel the world meeting interesting people and getting paid millions of dollars? I would say, well, I'll take the second choice. To me, looking at his life, that's paradise. You made it, dude. That's it. That's what I want. You got money. You got fame. You got to see the world. All of the things that people want to post on Instagram, brother, you got it. And yet, he was still so tied up that not only could he not see what he had, but he could not even see a reason for waking up another day. If you are not happy, there is nothing out there that will ever make you happy. And if you already are happy, there's nothing out there that can take it away from you. That's the gospel. That's the beauty. The Holy Spirit can lead you into joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all good fruit. Here in Hawaii, maybe not in Las Vegas, but anywhere else. It's already inside. Anything else adds to it. A vacation with your family, that's the gravy on top. The video games with your son, that's the gravy on top. But the meat and potatoes is the joy that we can find through the Holy Spirit and tenacity. I can be just as happy stocking almond milk as I could be traveling the world for CNN. My joke is I'm already happy broke, so I might as well be happy rich. But the point is, we look into ourselves and find joy. And that joy, that peace, will help us to find it outside as well. When I am at odds with myself, when I am producing bad fruit, no amount of words... I always use Jude because she's not here. I love my children more than I could ever explain to anybody. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. But when I'm stressed and tired and unhappy, what's inside blocks me from connecting with them. And so when I see them doing something that I don't want them to do or not doing something that I'd like them to do, I want to connect with them and say, listen, man, I'm trying to, but when I'm upset, it doesn't come out right. And they go, why do you get it? I can't even tell you, and you don't even. And they just block it off because of course they should. Who's going to listen to a ranting madman? And no amount of bluster and threats and intimidation and life lessons are ever going to get them to do what I want them to do. The more I can focus on myself, and Lord, it is so hard, and clear out the junk, then I've got the love, peace, and patience that I need, and they can see it. And all of a sudden, boom, the connection is made. And the thing that I wanted to happen happens. When I'm working on myself, I'm radiating it out, and my bosses see it. When I'm not radiating it out, when I'm not working on myself, then everything falls apart. And no matter what I do, I'm grasping at straws. I cannot get it to go, and it all falls apart. It's inside. Anything that does not bear fruit must be cut away. Not for them, not for him. He's already forgiven us. For ourselves. Your resentment, Gabriel, you have to let it go. Not for them. You got to throw it in the fire for yourself. Your bitterness, your anger, your frustration, your lust, you got to cut it out. Not for them. They may never see or know or care. For you. For me. For the life that I want. Is there enough trips to Paris that I could ever take? Finally, I'm happy. I did it. Is there enough stuff that I could... enough video game trophies that... finally, I beat Elden Ring. Okay, here we go. We're good. We're good. Everything's good. Is there enough money? Is there enough sex? Is there enough anything that could ever fill up? It's already in there. You have a 5-year-old in a room. They'll just be happy. They'll play. They'll cut their own hair so it looks like terrible. They're living the dream because they haven't piled on all of the nonsense. They haven't piled on all the political... They haven't piled on all of the junk that we just feed into every day. Paul said, being gay is a sin, so I'm going to spend every day going out and finding them. There is not enough tea in China that can ever change other people. You can only change yourself. And in so much as you can, be a witness to somebody else who might see it and who might have that spark and think, dude, I want that. I want it. I played basketball on Wednesday. I was walking like a tin soldier for the rest of the week. And I didn't play very well. I played all right. I was D'ing up Hector, you know, grabbing those boards. But I wasn't playing like I used to. And the devil said, look at you, man, you're old, brother. You're old. What are you doing out here with these young guys, man? You can't do it. You're old. And the rest of the day, I was all down on myself. Stupid dude. Can't even think. If he would have passed the ball, I would have got my thing. That's bad fruit. The good fruit is that desire to go back out and play like a kid. To be young again. Leap ye lame. That's the good fruit. Anything that causes me to be unhealthy, cut it out. Anything that causes me to look down on my fellow man, you gotta cut it out. Spend all day looking on Instagram and thinking about if your life was white picket fence. Spend all day on Facebook sending political messages to people who don't give a crap, Aiden. That's what he wants. He wants you all over here looking at all of them. Because as long as you're looking at them, you're not looking at him who's got you locked up. For years, I spent so much time chasing women, chasing dope, chasing anything that I thought would make me happy. Spoiler alert, none of it did. It wasn't until I was able to look inside myself that I get even a moment. Even now, I'll get a couple moments of peace and then I'll see something. Walk by my daughter's room. I spent 2 hours on Instagram the other day. Looking through. Oh, look, they're dancing the thing. Oh, the cat got the thing. Nothing wrong with that. Unless it keeps me. Because some of that stuff, I look and I see the people in the beach in their swimsuits. And then I think, wait, why don't I? How come I? And then I start thinking about what I'm missing, what I don't have. They got the perfect life. Look at you, Gabe. Your daughter won't even clean her room. And he's got me looking at other people. Anything that does not bear good fruit must be cut out. From things that are blatantly obvious to the granularity of should I watch less Lakers. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I spent years not knowing that I was an arrogant jerk. This is walking around. This is, look at those. some kid wearing a Tupac shirt, and I would just rant and rave about how he doesn't know hip-hop, as if I was in NWA in the 80s wearing Raiders gear. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see all of the stuff that I had piled on myself. And it doesn't mean that you need to feel self-loathing. You arrogant jerk, Gabe. It's just like, you got to humble yourself, Gabriel. You got to humble yourself. You got to do a little bit better. You got to work a little bit harder. You have to be a little bit more patient. Inside, finding anything that doesn't bear good fruit, taking out the axe, the Holy Spirit, and cutting it out and throwing it in the fire, burning it up. I'm almost done. I was at Trader Joe's last night, and I walked outside. I was taking the trash out, and somebody was smoking a cigarette. People hate the smell of cigarettes unless you've smoked, at which point they smell like pumpkin pie, y'all. And I smelled it, and it smelled good. What? How? It's the lie. It's the lie. I had to cut it out. Throw it in the fire. You can't ever have it, Gabriel. I normally don't think about it. I normally don't want it. Sometimes. You may not have that. You may smell cigarettes. Like, ew. So you don't have to deal with that. But that's something I got to deal with because of the actions that I took in the past. You may have difficulty getting to the gym. You may have difficulty drinking too much Dr. Pepper. Sorry, dude. He's the best. I love him so much. I don't have that issue. Does that mean that Dr. Pepper's bad? No. But if you're drinking too much of it, you got to cut it out. Sorry, Aiden, that was unfair. Whatever it may be that's keeping you, you got to cut it out. The question becomes, how do you know who's who in the zoo? The Holy Spirit. We pray about it. And if we are diligent, it will reveal to us that which needs to be cut out. It could start out with easy things, right? Maybe you shouldn't do this so much. Maybe you shouldn't do that so much. Maybe you should do a little bit more of this. And with perseverance and patience, He will be faithful to lead you into all of the things that you need to fix. You may not be an arrogant person like I was. I always marvel at people who can sit and listen in a conversation. I'm like, a million. So people who are just quiet, I'm like, awkward silence is like my kryptonite. So I just like, keep this going. I got my own stuff that I got to cut out. You got your own stuff you got to cut out. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to identify those things. And the more you cut out, you will reap the rewards. In your relationships, in your jobs, in your body, in your outlook on life. Anthony Bourdain had everything that most of us mere mortals dream of. Fame, money, love, a fulfilling job. But he was lied to. There were things he had not cut out, and it got him. He's in heaven now. Doesn't make him a bad person. It just breaks my heart. Because I loved him. A celebrity I didn't know. I enjoyed the TV he made. And it hurts to think of him suffering like that. To see the kids out living on the street. They're not sinners damned to hell. The people who are suffering, they will reap the benefits and the consequences. The wages of sin is death, and He is faithful to collect. He will get His pound of flesh. Believe me. But greater is he who is in me than he who is against me. The years that I spent, I pay. But the work that I'm doing now, I get paid. I get paid in the way my children look at me. I get paid in being able to be here with you all. I get paid in waking up this morning. I get paid in the peace of my mind, the happiness in my life. That's mine. That's mine that I took through cutting it out. And I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. And who knows, maybe I'll live as long as a tree. Maybe I won't. But whatever I cut out, I'll be the one. I used to smoke cigarettes and think to myself, how will I ever quit? How will I ever quit? I couldn't go 2 hours without smoking. And I thought, how? I would despair out in the back. My kids are inside. I'm smoking a cigarette. How will I ever get back? I did it. I did do it. It was hard. It was painful, but I did it. In all things, it's the same for each and every one of us. Whatever your things are, pray about them. He will reveal them to you. Be faithful to work at them. And you will get all of the rewards, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. It is ours. It's our birthright. We were born with it, and he's trying to take it away, and we're not going to let him. For 2,000 years, not going to let him. We're just not going to let him do it anymore. Whether it comes from here or here, out there, it can be ours. It will be ours. Thank you for giving me this time. Thank you. I was talking with Carrie Alanis. She took pictures of Darcy, and she had posted them on, and it brought me back. And one day, I will see her again. And she'll say, good job, dude. And every day, between now and that day, I'm going to work on me. Work on me to the point where my children clean their room, but to where they look at me the way that I want them to. Happy Father's Day. What Ashley said was so good. So right, dude. Love it. Just because you didn't mix the ingredients, that doesn't mean anything. I love being a teacher because I feel like I get to make a difference in somebody's life. We all make differences in people's lives. Not by our words, but by our actions. They are seen, they are noticed. They are ours. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for another day, for another week. You are our good Father. And you love us no matter what we do. Help us to listen to your guidance. Help us to hear your voice. Give us wisdom in being able to hear that and being able to follow it. Give us a plan, Lord, a vision for how to live our lives. When we hear your calling, help us figure out the path. Help us to identify roadblocks and traps. Give us strength and courage, Lord. Give us peace and patience and humility. Let us take a step back and listen. And listen and follow your voice. Cut out the garbage and follow you forward. Bind the devil from our lives. Bind him from our minds. Help us to hear you. Bring us back next week. Protect us and guide us. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.